Ketchikan,
Kotzebue,
Dillingham,
Sitka,
Chugiak,
Fairbanks,
Fort Yukon,
Wrangell,
Barrow, Unalaska, Dutch Harbor,
Alaknarechamute.
This is AK on Alaska News Nightly. I'm Dave Waldron. This week on AK, going batty. Bats are a pretty low priority for most Alaskan biologists, but that could be changing due to a recent uptick in the creature's population. Add to that a disease that's been killing millions of bats in the lower 48, and Alaska might be taking note with the rest of the nation. Alaska Public Media correspondent Ammon Swenson has more.
That is Myotis lucivicus, better known as a little brown bat. They're the most widely dispersed bat species in North America. Only weighing about half an ounce, they're also the most common bat in Alaska. Research here has only started gaining traction within the last 10 years. Biologists are working to gather even the most basic data about the creatures, and now with the added urgency of a deadly threat knocking at the door. Jessica Reimer is an assistant zoologist at the Alaska Center for Conservation Science, based out of the University of Alaska Anchorage. She studies bats in northern latitudes in the U.S. and Canada.
I think with the spread of white nose syndrome, this fungus that's killing millions of bats out east, people have become more interested in bats. And as more people start to look at bats in Alaska and realize that they're here and that they're surviving and persisting, there's more interest in other people kind of jumping on the bandwagon and looking at them as well.
Caused by a fungus growing and spreading in the confined spaces of bat colonies, white nose syndrome can have a mortality rate of 90 or even 100%. And little brown bats are especially susceptible. Over the last decade, white nose syndrome killed over 5 million bats in the lower 48 and has been working its way across the US and Canada. In 2016, researchers found the fungus in Washington State, and it might only be a matter of time before it reaches Alaska. With such minimal data available, it could be difficult to know if or when white nose syndrome arrives and what the effects might be. Bats just haven't been a high-priority species to research.
Alaska is a huge place, and so if you're going to pick something to study, you're going to go for the ones that people are really interested in or that need to be harvested or that contribute to the local economy in some way.
Doing research in Alaska can be tough. Access, weather, geography. But a little technology goes a long way. Using specialized recording devices that can pick up bats' high-frequency echolocations, researchers can collect all sorts of general information about their subjects.
And so by putting out these passive recorders, we can record those high-frequency echolocations, bring that back to the office, and tell which type of bat was there, what were they doing, when were they there, and then start matching that with climate data to say, okay, what sort of environmental factors were dictating whether we were catching bat noise or whether we got radio silence.
Bat audio can even allow researchers to determine some specific behaviors like drinking or hunting. Here's a recording of a little brown bat. It's slowed down to 1/10 speed and the frequency is lowered so we can hear it. Listen to that steady, consistent tweeting noise. That's what's called a search phase. The bat's flying around, sending out pulses of sound that might bounce off a mosquito or some other insect. Finally, we hear what's called the terminal buzz. At this point, the bat's zeroed in on a meal and is essentially locking on with echolocation. The recorders do have their shortcomings, though.
You know, they have a directional microphone, so it can't pick up everything. And just because we didn't record a bat in a certain area doesn't mean that bats never use that area.
That's Jessica Faust. She's a master's student at UAA studying bats in the Chugach National Forest.
You can also have 100 sound files from one night, and you can't tell the difference between if it was 100 bats that passed by or if it was one bat that passed by 100 times.
She says the recorders can't really give researchers a solid population estimate, but the typical method of netting and tagging bats isn't always that effective either. Since bats are nocturnal, the best time to find them is at night, so summers in Alaska provide a unique challenge.
And if it's bright out, then they see our nets. I've had so many nights in the field where I've seen so many bats just go by and you can see them fly near the net, see it, and fly right around it.
Not to mention when they do catch a little brown bat, they need to tag the tiny thing.
I thought it was so funny. When I first held one, it's like they're holding their mouth like wide open and they look like they're just like smiling and happy. And then you realize that they're screaming, but it's too high pitched for you to hear. So they're really, I don't know, I think they're hilarious to handle.
While researching bats in Alaska can be an uphill battle, organizations like the Alaska Center for Conservation Science and the Alaska Department of Fish and Game have been enlisting the public's help. In Southeast, where bats are more abundant, Fish and Game have a program where people can borrow recording devices, attach a microphone to their car, and record bats while driving along an established route. Citizen scientists can also get involved by turning in dead bats to Fish and Game or letting the Center for Conservation Science know if you have bats roosting in your house. For AK, I'm Ammon Swenson in Anchorage.